Would you pray with me? Loving God, we thank you for your word that speaks of power and hope and joy, and your word that speaks of your presence even with us here today. And may we hear it, may we believe it, may we know that it is the truth, may we feel it. This we pray in your Son's name. Amen. Once upon a time, there was a famous house builder and painter. And after designing the homes, that he would then build them and then paint them. As a painter, he was an amazing artist, and he didn't need to use drop cloths. Now, those of you that are painting the meeting room yet, don't listen to this. He had a steady hand, and he was finicky about using good brushes and quality paint, so there were no drips, and the trim lines were so tight. Now, the craftsman always built the house that he designed. He designed it, he built it, and he painted it all by himself with his own hands. But then one day he had a remarkable idea. As he was standing by one of his houses, he saw a bunch of kids walking home from the local elementary school. And they were minding their own business, laughing and carrying their backpacks. And then he shouted, "Hey, kids!" When they looked up, startled and awestruck, because everyone knew about his amazing skills, he asked them a surprising question. "How would you like to do some painting?" "What do you mean?" "I'll tell you what," he said. "I'll give each of you a bucket of paint and a brush, and you can paint my new house. You want to give it a try?" "For real?" they squealed with delight. The painter nodded as he said, "Yep, for real." "Cool," the kids said. And he opened up the back of his truck. He pulled out a load of brushes and paint cans and then pried the paint cans open and stirred it. And they started splashing paint on the garage door. They got paint on the sidewalk and some on each other. But they also got a lot of paint on the house. All different colors, especially on the parts of the house that were 4 feet and under. As the other kids came by on the sidewalk, they asked, "Hey, can we do that too?" And they joined in. In about an hour, most of the first floor was painted. The house painter's neighbors came over after dinner and took it all in. "What's going on?" they asked. Another blurted out, "Look, I got to be honest. Your house looks like a tornado ripped through Sherwin-Williams. What were you thinking?" "Well," the house painter said, "of course I could have painted this house all by myself. But I've always built and painted houses in order to bring joy to others. So based on that goal, this is the most beautiful house I've ever made." Then dozens of their friends will want to come to the house. They'll bring their friends to show what they've painted. And each one will say, "This is the home of the master builder and painter, but it's also our house." You know, in the same way, when God, the master creator and painter of the world, pours out the Holy Spirit on God's followers, every single one of us is given a can of paint and a brush. And he says, "Go to work. Use your gifts and let's paint a beautiful house for the world." Today, on this day of Pentecost, we've been handed a paintbrush by the Spirit. It is the brush of the gospel that we have been given in our lives. The color of our experiences make our gospel unique. The color of our paint unique. The fact that the disciples were all given the gift of languages means that they had something to say. And they wanted people to hear it. They had a color to share with the world. Something is happening in this story. Reverend Dr. Tom Long, preaching professor at Candler School of Theology at Emory University in Atlanta, he wrote about this passage. Have you ever noticed where the story of Pentecost is positioned in the book of Acts? It's sandwiched between two other stories. On the one side is the story of the selection of the replacement for Judas, Matthias. And on the other side is a story about the early church breaking bread, attending to the teachings of the apostles, and trying to take care of the poor people in their midst. In other words, the story of Pentecost is positioned right between the election of officers and struggling over programs of Christian education, worship, and service. Right between the institution and the mission. And whatever it is that we're given on Pentecost, it doesn't lift us out and up over these earthbound realities. It drives us deeper into them. We're not given the Spirit to keep the institution of the church going, but we are given the Spirit to use the church, to work through the institution, to tell the good news in whatever language, whatever color we have. But what is that language? What is that color to say? What are we to say? Well, we are given the gift of speaking to a world that's broken, a world that needs healing. We are given a word to speak in times of tragedy. We have a word to say to those who are feeling lost, those who are feeling alone. Reverend Long writes, "Did you notice what happened to the church when the Spirit was given? The Spirit was huddled, or the people were huddled up in an upper room, waiting for something. They had no idea what they were waiting for. But when the Spirit was given, the church stood up. It spoke. It moved from silence to language. It talked, and the whole world heard the good news in its own languages. As the prophet Joel said, in the latter days, I will pour out my Spirit on all of humanity, and your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your sons and your daughters will have a word to speak. That is life stronger than death, or that life is stronger than death. That hope is deeper than despair, that every tear will be dried, and that in the power of Christ's resurrection, death and pain will be no more. That word is our gift to speak." Did you notice when Madeline read the Ezekiel story of dry bones? What was it that called the dry bones to life? It was Ezekiel speaking to them, calling to them, the voice of God working through him, his words. The word is our gift to speak. Can you speak that word? Do you have the paint palette to speak that word? The gift was not given to create an institution, but to create a mission of love, of respect, and caring. At Christmas, we talk about the prophet Isaiah saying, "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light." Today, we're reminded that we've been given the Holy Spirit to offer that vision of that light to others, to let that light work through us, to give light to the lives of others. We have something to say. And it can be just as simple as sharing our own unique experience. When Dr. Elizabeth Kubler-Ross was writing her famous book on death and dying, part of her research involved interviewing dying patients in the hospital, trying to find out how they felt as they faced their death. As she went from room to room in the hospital, she began to notice a remarkable pattern. Sometimes she would go into a dying person's room, and that person would be calm, at peace, and tranquil. She also began to notice that often this was after the patient's room had been cleaned by a certain hospital orderly. One day, Dr. Ross happened to run into that orderly in the hospital corridor. And she said to her, "What are you doing with my patient?" The orderly thought she was being reprimanded by the doctor. She said, "I'm not doing anything with your patient." No, responded Dr. Ross. "It's a good thing. After you go into their room, they seem at peace. What are you doing with my patient?" "I just talked to them," the orderly said. "You know, I've had two babies of my own die on my lap. But God never abandoned me. I tell them that. I tell them that they aren't alone, that God is with them, and that they don't have to be afraid." We have the words of our experience of God in our own lives. We have words to speak to a hungry for whatever they are hungry for. We have a color, the color palette, to paint the world with love. Like the disciples, we've been given the words to speak. That's what that book is all about. We do not do a service to the world if we keep silence. We must speak our words. We must use the language we have been given. And let us begin to do that. And let us begin in 2 weeks when people will come to be fed by us. Let us offer words of encouragement. Let us provide a time of peace and joy and feed the people of God. Today, you all receive the red lifesaver, I hope, or we will hand them out afterwards. I want you to take that lifesaver. And I want you to... You can think about enjoying it for yourself. But I'd rather see you give it to somebody. So when you give it to them, tell them why you're giving it to them. Maybe somebody who's feeling who's having a hard time in life for whatever reason right now. And you can say, "This lifesaver represents the fact that God is with you. God cares about you. I care about you." If you can't say God, just say, "I care about you." Let God work through you. When we sing our last hymn, I'm going to have the ushers pass them out. Speak your language. Paint your color. Let the Spirit offer grace and hope to another person. You can even share your love for God and for what God has done in your life. Think of the times that the Spirit has blown through your life and suddenly your world was painted a different color. Share that word. Share that story. Just share the story. Even if you don't understand the how and why of it. And you will touch the hearts of others. That's all we can do. But you know, that's what we must do. May the Holy Spirit help each of us to use our language, to use our color of the palette. Amen.